Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 15th, 2022. Every day brings the world closer to correction. The revelation of Reshemot is accompanied by unpleasant sensations because they reveal our shortcomings. But at the same time, they show us the conditions for clarifying true needs. The growth of the global desire to enjoy and the revelation of the Reshemot from the shattering are the main factors of our awakening. They awaken all of humanity. Look what huge steps humanity is taking now toward new states. Soon we will see drastic changes in which a clear focus and the right setting for connection, rapprochement, rational consumption, and correction will be clearly noticeable. Otherwise, we simply cannot survive. The whole of humanity will begin to feel this pressure due to such simple things as problems with oil that are emerging today and with providing energy. Soon there may be a shortage of food, hunger, severe drought, or a new pandemic. So we will find out that we are in one system, we depend on each other, and we must realize this dependence. And the main thing is to understand that only our connection can generate a force that will affect all negative phenomena and turn them into positive ones. In this way, the virus will oblige us all to look for a cure due to which we will get closer, unite, and thus get closer to connection, to the goal of creation. It turns out that no phenomenon is revealed to our detriment, but every event, every moment, and every day brings us closer to correction. Therefore, it is necessary to enjoy your life and try to actively engage in this process. The correction of the world depends only on the good connection between us. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, May 10, 2022. Baal HaSulam, the study of the 10 Sefirot. Michael Leitman, on the Times of Israel, the root of Israel's political chaos. The past several years have seen a growing political chaos in Israel. 4 elections in just 2 years are too much for any country. But even after the 4th election, there is no stable government, it is torn from within, threatened from without, and the prevailing sentiment is that everyone disagrees with everyone else and detests everyone else. There is only one solution to the impasse: stop imposing incompatible modes of government that are good for other nations, but not for Israel, and adapt the political system that suits the nature of the people. Israel's multiple-party political system is not the right structure for the people of Israel. We have always had multiple opinions in the nation, it is in our nature to disagree, and we laugh at ourselves that between every 2 Jews you will find 3 opinions. However, the DNA of our people is to unite above these divisions and use the tensions they create to form a bond that is stronger than any bond can form. This mode of work is the reason behind King Solomon's verse, Prof. 10:12, "Hate stirs up strife, and love will cover all crimes." This approach is also behind many other texts that our sages and thinkers have written throughout history. In Education and World, Martin Burr wrote, "We are demanded not to blur the boundaries between the fellowships, but rather recognize the common reality and sharing of the test of mutual responsibility. The separation of the hearts is an illness that afflicts the nations of our time. There is no cure for this except for people from different circles of views who need each other with a pure heart to exert together to reveal the common basis." In a similar spirit, the book Likutei Halakot states, "The vitality and sustenance and correction of the whole of creation is by people of differing views becoming included together in love, unity, and peace." The book Assorted Counsels elaborates even more: the essence of peace is to connect to opposites. Hence, do not be alarmed if you see a person whose opinion is completely opposite from yours and you think that you will never be able to make peace with him. Or, when you see 2 people who are completely opposite to each other, do not say it is impossible to make peace between them. On the contrary, the essence of peace is to try to make peace between 2 opposites. In other words, The correct way for our people to work is to have multiple opinions within the same party, the same governing body, but at the same time understand that no single view is right, and only a decision reached when people unite after their differences have been revealed is correct because it has emerged from the point of unity that is above any personal opinion. Only if Israel works in this way will it have a solid government and a nation that stands behind it. Moreover, when Israel governs itself in this way, it will have the world's support, contrary to the current situation where the world can barely keep from telling us, outright to get out of the land it granted us, on November 29, 1947. While it may seem impossible to find unity above our differences, we must remember that we are not doing this for ourselves, but for the world. This will be the fuel that can give us the sufficient impetus to carry out this seemingly impossible task. Our sages have taught us that if we unite among ourselves, we unite the world. Accordingly, the Book of Zohar writes, "Ahemo, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to also dwell together. These are the friends, as they sit together inseparably. At first, they seem like people at war, wishing to kill one another. Then they return to being in brotherly love. And you, the friends who are here, as you were in fondness and love before, you will not part henceforth. And by your merit there will be peace in the world." Echoing it, Re'ir Kook wrote, "If we were ruined and the world was ruined with us, through unfounded hatred, we will be rebuilt and the world will be rebuilt with us, through unfounded love. Therefore, in times of great division and dislike, it is our duty more than ever to unite above our differences and set an example of unity. This is the only remedy to our inability to establish a solid government, a solid society, and a peaceful life." Medium published my new article Disinformation Czar, a Risky Gambit. A couple of weeks ago, the Biden administration announced the establishment of the Disinformation Governance Board, headed by Nina Jankowicz, who became known as the Disinformation Czar. Officially, the board, which reports to the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, is only an advisory body. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said that the board will ensure that the way in which we address threats, the connectivity between threats and acts of violence are addressed without infringing on free speech, protecting civil rights and civil liberties, the right of privacy. However, a few days ago, the news are, Mrs. Jankowicz, stated how the board will actually work, and it does not sound very promising for civil liberties. Explaining to listeners in a Zoom conversation who will determine what is disinformation and what is not, she said, "I am eligible for it because I'm verified, but there are a lot of people who shouldn't be verified, who aren't, you know, legit, in my opinion. I mean, they are real people, but they're not trustworthy. Anyway, so verified people can essentially start to edit Twitter, the same sort of way that Wikipedia is, so they can add context to certain tweets." Following her explanation, she gave an example of a known personality tweeting something that verified people think is disinformation, so they will add context to that person's tweet. In describing the tempest over the DHS announcement, the Washington Post wrote, "Amid growing anti-censorship fervor on the right, a bevy of Republicans have suggested that the initiative amounts to policing speech. Elon Musk declared it messed up. Many on the right likened it to the Ministry of Truth from George Orwell's book 1984. In my opinion, it is indeed a risky gambit that the U.S. government is taking. The First Amendment, which focuses on the right to express opinions freely, is at the core of American democracy. If it fails, if people cannot express themselves, if their mouths are shut or the words changed, it is a recipe for chaos. Especially after the two recent elections, critical voices have expressed concern about the integrity of American democracy. Even so, until now, it has been safe to voice these concerns, even if you were banned from expressing them on certain platforms. Changing people's own words to give them context is a completely different story. It is silencing them, manipulating and warping their words to say what they did not intend to say, and denying them even the ability to protest, since it is done in order to prevent disinformation. This is complete denial of freedom of speech and freedom of expression. It is a complete abrogation of the First Amendment. As history has shown, when people feel that they have no alternative, they often resort to violence. If America has come to that, then I am genuinely worried that this could be the place where a civil war begins. Michael Leitman, on Quora, how can I connect myself with the spiritual world? We connect with the spiritual world by rising above our ego. What is the ego? It is our inborn nature that desires to enjoy at the expense of others and nature. Rising above this nature means bestowing good onto others, even though it is not to our own benefit. In other words, we place a restriction over our own benefit. We stop thinking about ourselves, and solely consider the benefit of others. Doing so makes us, similar to the qualities of the spiritual world, those of love, bestowal and connection. The key here is that we work on our connections with people. Our ego operates in relation to others, and by rising above our egoistic forces of wishing to receive from others for ourselves, and wishing to benefit them instead, then to the extent in which we do so, we enter into a perception and sensation of the spiritual world. We thus connect with the spiritual world by correcting our connections to each other. We then start understanding, discovering and perceiving the spiritual world not as outside of us, but that it truly envelops us. Based on the video, is your spiritual connection real or fantasy? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman, Aaron Levi and Talman Elbaum. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. How to reach peace? Question. The philosopher and enlightener Voltaire described the idea of achieving universal peace as an armed overthrow of rulers because they are not interested in preserving peace. Or it could be done by a revolution from below when enlightened rulers establish peace in the interests of the people or the nation. Can peace be established either by the forces of the masses or by rulers from above? Answer, neither one nor the other. In general, the phrase peace is established does not add up. It cannot be. Peace is born from the awareness of the need to unite opposites through our efforts. We must constantly make these efforts because everything is dynamic, and then there will be peace. The necessity of peace comes from the realization that all of nature is dynamic and therefore needs unification of all opposites. In such a state, they all get the opportunity for maximum development, mutual help, and mutual complementation at the same time. It is most important. If we find these two conditions that can coexist together, then we will achieve peace. From CabTV's Kabbalah Express, March 4, 2022. We need to play life. Comment. Scientists from Brazil, Spain, and the UK observed a group of howler monkeys in the forests of Mexico and Costa Rica. These are monkeys that lead a low-activity lifestyle, and the main thing for them is not to move. They are herbivores, they feed on leaves. Yet, they actively play. Scientists thought, why would they waste energy and play? They conducted experiments and it turned out that monkeys do this to reduce tension and avoid disputes and conflicts. They avoid them with the help of a game. My response, this is what we need to learn. Question, that is, they are at such a level, now we will clash, then we will hate each other, no, we better play. Do you think this is the case? Answer, this is the way it is. It is very cool and interesting. Many animals have such a game. Look how much they swim, do something, play all sorts of games, quite serious, dangerous, and risky ones, even in their old age. And all this is in order to replace their conflicts with it. Question, What is it, if we extrapolate this to humanity? What should humanity decide in this case? What game should we play? Answer, anything you want. Just as long as it is a game that would replace all real conflicts. Question, and still, what kind of game would you guide humanity into? Answer, I would make it so that humanity would play that it works, earns, builds, and competes. In general, our entire life is just so that we eventually look at it as a game. Comment, that is, I go to work, I communicate with everyone. My response, I compete in everything, check what my neighbor has, what I have, and so on. But it is a game. Question, what does it give us? Answer, so that later I could reset the account, return it to zero, and as if start over. Question, would that prevent us from serious arguments? Answer, yes. We would play our life. What is our life? A game. Thus, we should make a game out of it. Comment, we were told, you are playing life. You should live for real. Now it turns out that everything is the other way around, we have to play life. Then I just play all these quarrels and arguments. My response, of course. We would perceive them differently, we would feel everything differently, we would build this game differently. Question, what do we want to achieve in this game? Is that something we should keep in mind? Answer, yes. Not the result of the game itself but what we come to as a result, to the fact that there is an understanding of the meaning of the interaction between us. Question, what is it? Answer, the revelation of the forces of nature that twist us, like this and lead us, into this game. Question, what if I reveal that I really am inside the law of nature? Answer, you will see how nature plays with you, and you will really say that our life is a game. Question, if I see that I am really inside the system, as they say, the matrix, and everything that is happening to me is what this matrix wants, what will it give me? Answer, it will give you the opportunity to understand what this mechanism you are a participant in is, and what you can do to figure it out and understand it. After all, it exists for some reason. Is it for some upper mind or for you? Question, and the most important thing is my thoughts to be directed to this? Answer, yes. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, March 21, 2022. We are the material of a big experiment. Comment, you are asked the question, please explain how it can be that the pilots who dropped atomic bombs on Japan did not regret what they did until the end of their lives and they lived for 80 to 90 years or more. Despite the fact that they were shown all these horrors, the consequences of the explosion that did not affect military facilities, but innocent people, adults, children, old people. How can a person live with this? My response, first, a person can live with everything. Absolutely with everything. Up to the point that he can kill his own mother and torture anyone, the creatures closest to him. And live to be 90 to 100 years old, and justify himself in everything. Man is a collection of absolutely all evil and all good. And so he can switch in any circumstance from good to evil and from evil to good, and always not understand the other who can blame him for something. Question, and always justify even the greatest evil that he has done? Answer, of course. Moreover, from the bottom of his heart, he will still convince you that he did absolutely the right thing, that maybe he is the only righteous person in the world. We don't know ourselves. The absolute good and the absolute evil that is inside of us, can change places. It can be varied and different. Question, so you are saying, the evil that I have committed, the most terrible evil, I can switch in myself? Answer, and you will consider it an absolute good. After all, you've made sure that this is an absolute good. Question, what should we do about it? How can we turn evil into good? Can this be done? Answer, as more and more evil is attained, we should correct it for the corresponding good. question, that is, in the end, I have to come to the conclusion that the evil is in me? Answer, this is possible if there is, as they say, a third surplus. Meaning, there is evil, there is good, and there is a creator from whom this quality comes. Question, does both good and evil come from him? Answer, yes. Question, so there should be my appeal to the third? My mind and heart are, let's say, good and evil, and there is a third one. Am I being led to this? Answer, of course. You are brought up for, raised for, this. Question, by being allowed to do all sorts of terrible things? Answer, everything. Everything that goes through you. Question, in order for me to come to this third one, to the Creator? Answer, yes. But it takes a lot of states, generations, and so on. Question, is it worth it at all? Answer, you are not asked that. You're the test subject of a big experiment. Comment, all of history is paved with blood, wars, suffering and the whole history of mankind, only to come to this third? My response, and rejoice, and enjoy, and thank. Question, that he has done everything the way he did and that brought me to him? Answer, yes. Question, what should my appeal be when I really want to go to him? Answer, that you finally attain his wisdom, the perfection of his actions on you. And you justify everything. Question, will humanity come to this? Answer, of course. Comment, we see that now it is already moving toward this by leaps and bounds. My response, the Creator leaves energetically. Question, we have such a producer and director that it is simply impossible to dodge. Is it because we were moving slowly? Answer, no, who are we that we can set the speed, vector, and so on? Question, you don't put anything on humanity by and large? Answer, we are small beings who can somehow experience and somehow adapt these experiences in ourselves. Somehow we can compare all this in ourselves and gradually bring it to some actions, proceeding from one to another, and thus establish in ourselves some internal process of attainment, approval, and so on. Question, but is it such a logical chain? Answer, of course. Question, the Creator and all this is beyond all logic? Answer, above all logic is my agreement with him. Question, so it's logical if I don't have to agree with him and I agree? Am I being led to this? Answer, you have no other choice. There is simply no other way to exist. Question, and when I agree with him, what happens? Answer, then you begin to get closer to him out of justifying him. Then you begin to reveal the meaning of his actions on you. It fills you up, it becomes your life. It becomes the current through which you swim and attain him. Question, does this river lead me to peace and love? I want to cling to something like this, peace, love. Does this justification of him lead there, to this point? Answer, yes. It leads you there. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, March 17, 2022. How to find a cure for all problems? Question. In Israel, an experiment was conducted with selecting drugs according to the molecular genetic profile. It turned out that there are people with cancer who do not respond to any known medications. There are known cases in the history of medicine when a disease acquired a drug-resistant form, for example, tuberculosis. Why is it that even today many people do not respond to drugs that medicine has developed? Answer, the fact is that a medicine is a convention. What is medicine? We attract light upon our egoism, which is in various ugly, and recently even mutational forms, and try to influence this ugly egoism with light, which is clothed in some chemical formula. In practice, there is only desire and light, the force of reception and the force of bestowal, which interact with each other. If they are in harmony with each other, fill one another, then we exist in balance, in harmony, without any problems. As soon as there is a problem in the egoistic desire to receive and one does not correspond to the other, then immediately there is a concealment of the light. The light exits, moves away, and disappears. When the light moves away from the desire to some certain distance, we begin to feel more and more suffering, then illness, and then death. It all depends on how far the light moves away from desire. Gradually it comes out more and more, and by moving away, leads to death. What has been going on lately? Our egoism does not just get bigger, and therefore the light departs from it naturally, according to the law of disparity of qualities or differences in qualities. Rather, egoism acquires unusual, mutational forms. That is, the ego is getting transformed, it takes unnatural forms, not just to take, want, conquer something and absorb it into itself. It acquires opposite forms such as drugs, depression, various egoistic deformities, turns from the direct desire to enjoy the light, into desire to enjoy its absence. This is how its mutational forms manifest themselves, egoism in a double, triple degree, when it transforms itself and enjoys its nothingness and emptiness. What, in principle, is depression? Why can a person not get out of it? He seeks pleasure in his emptiness. This leads to the fact that we cannot find cures for these diseases, and therefore we say that the immune system is damaged. We do not know how it is possible to restore at least some contact between the life-giving force, light, and our egoism, our organism, our desire. This is the problem. I cannot imagine how we will be able to solve this if we do not begin to restore the correct connection between desire, the organism and the force that enlivens it, light. Kabbalah gives a very simple formula. But who wants to use it? We may still have to suffer for many years until we begin to listen to what Kabbalah calls for. It says that everything is based on our egoism, and it can only be defeated by love. But how can we love each other, love your neighbor as yourself? This is a panacea for all troubles. But how do we do it if we hate each other? The wisdom of Kabbalah explains that there is a force in nature that can do this, only you have to start studying, reading, summoning this force upon yourself, and asking it. When you study the system of the universe, the way it works logically, and quite realistically, you see that yes, this is how it happens, and you begin to feel these forces concealed a little behind our world. You see, our world is transparent and behind it all the forces of nature that play with our world and with us. This is what we should present to a person, reveal to him, and then we will find a cure for all problems. From CabTV's close-up. The Philadelphia Experiment, October 24, 2010. Seven Principles of Survival in Inhumane Conditions. Comment: Viktor Frankl, physician and psychotherapist, survived in humane conditions in four different concentration camps, including Treblinka, Theresienstadt, and Auschwitz. He and others survived thanks to his theory of how to survive in inhumane conditions. But the most interesting thing is that he did not try to test it himself, but passed everything on to other people. He did it all for them, how to survive, and a lot of people survived. He wrote about it in several books. Please comment on his points on how to survive in inhumane conditions. The first point, and this is the main point for him, says, those who have a why to live, can bear with almost any how? My response, why is the goal? And how is already the achievement of the goal? Question, but how can one slip out from under the weight that has fallen on a person, the hopelessness? Answer, by always figuring out how to get closer to the goal. And that keeps you going. The goal attracts you, it shapes you, it sets out how to live your life, and every moment of time you know how to use it. Question, should these be some kind of intermediate goals? Answer, this is the ultimate goal, which is being determined every single moment of time. Comment, the second point, in inhumane conditions, only those who are looking to the future, who dream of fulfilling their destiny can survive. He hits this point all the time. My response, yes, it is natural. Question, if I am looking to the future, I what? I do not notice what is happening around me. Answer, no, you look at everything around you as conditions for achieving that goal. Question, so you are kind of saying that this is what is given to me in order to achieve the goal? Answer, yes. And this is all I need in order to formalize the final goal. Question, so at some point you can even be thankful for the most terrible obstacles? Answer, of course. You feel and eventually reveal that everything that happens is just for you to achieve, you, personally, your goal. Comment, the third point, no one has the right to commit lawlessness, even the one who suffered from lawlessness, and suffered very cruelly. My response, there is a global law of the universe, and you should therefore treat everyone at a given time as a person who is fulfilling his higher destiny. Question, even an enemy? Answer, even more so. And then you will do the right thing, survive, and achieve your goal. Meaning, you create it yourself by your correct attitude to everyone, to the enemy, to a friend, to everyone. You shape yourself internally by this, you correct yourself all the time and thus approach the final goal, the kind that you should eventually find. Question, is it possible at all? Answer, this is in general, in other words, our path. Comment, every person is irreplaceable, and his life is unique. And therefore, each person's task is as unique as his ability to perform this task is unique. Answer, yes. Question, is this how to look at yourself and other people? Is that the right way to look? Answer, for each person, yes, it is something unique. Question, so I cannot take one's life or rape in any way, nothing? Answer, you cannot do anything. Question, and what relationships should I be in this case, if it is unique? My life and his life are unique. Answer, you should look at it as if you are in exceptional circumstances in every moment, which you must use according to the rules of absolute cooperation, that is, for the absolute balance of you and the world around you. Question, and what should you do during war when there are countless victims? Answer, even more so. Then those feelings intensify. Question, so both the person who kills and the person who defends come somehow to this state? Answer, not everyone. But if a person thinks about his real true realization, then he comes to the conclusion that every life is unique and individual. Comment, the following principle, the meaning of my life is to help others find meaning in theirs. That is what you usually say. My response, this is absolutely ours. Question, but he was not a Kabbalist, how did he come to this? Answer, you do not have to be a Kabbalist for this. You just have to be a person who is looking for the essence of life. And then he sees that the essence of life is to reveal the essence of life to other people. Question, tell me, when does a person come to this height? Usually a person lives in order to find the meaning of his own life. Answer, this is how the search for one's life leads a person to the fact that he sees that he can realize it through the meaning of others' lives by giving them the meaning of life. Comment, love is the ultimate and highest goal to which man can aspire. The salvation of man is through love and in love. My response, yes. This refers to love, understanding the essence of nature, which consists in such a connection of all people when they do not feel that they are separated. This emerging sense of community, being in one desire, is the achievement of the goal of life. This one desire, the connection of all into one desire, this is love. Comment, even the helpless victim of a hopeless situation, facing a fate he cannot change, may rise above himself, may grow beyond himself, and by so doing change himself. My response, when a person stands in front of the absolute, in front of the fact that he cannot change anything, then he understands the need to change himself, that this is the only way to do something, to continue the correct existence in the world in general, in the fact that I change myself. From this moment on, to the following, to the next, and to the next, step by step to live your life in such a way that you change yourself at every moment. Question: you welcome dead ends, right? Answer: how can you do without them? If a person does not feel a dead end, then he is not moving forward. Question: is a helpless state a way out for you? Answer: yes, it is like a toy car. It bumps into something and starts turning. If it bumps into something again, it has to turn again. And so it searches all the time until it discovers from all the possibilities that there is a way out. Question: as a result, does a person who moves from a dead end to a dead end necessarily find a way out? Answer: certainly. Everything is programmed. Question: so I, in principle, as a person should sing a hymn to a dead end? Answer: of course. This is the strength of our formation. Comment: but I always want to avoid dead ends. Men wants to avoid them. My response: can you really make the right decision without a dead end? Comment: it is unlikely. My response: not possible. Question: what is the right decision that humanity should make today? Answer: it is the same in all cases: annul yourself. Comment: annul yourself, this is clear for your students. My response: and for the rest, it should become clear. Question: what do you mean by the word annul? Answer: it means that I do not decide what to do, I do not decide the goal, I do not depict it for myself and then try to achieve it. I can only do one thing: annul myself in front of others so that they achieve their goal. If my goal is something other than helping others, then I am standing in their way. If I annul myself, then I help them go to their goal. And in the end, everyone should be busy utilizing themselves in this way, helping others achieve their goals. Question: what happens to my I? Answer: that is when this I manifests itself as a general collective in which the upper force of nature is revealed, the only force that exists and guides. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, March 7, 2022.